This privilege to be here this morning. I'm excited. It always feels good to come back home. Amen. I grew up here in the valley. Lived in the beautiful Dream Homes. I don't know about beautiful anymore. I don't know about beautiful back then. But went to Raymond Creed and Palm Spring High School. We were supposed to go to Cathedral City High School, but it was just in the process. And my wife is here with me, Araceli. If she could just stand and I got three of my small children. I got David, Paul, and George. They're at their Sunday class, but I also have two more, 17-year-old and 16-year-old. And one of them plays the bass, and the other one plays the keyboard. And they stayed back home. And we're just so blessed. We're happy to be here. I'm excited to hear that Pastor's having his first child. I remember my wife on a Sunday went to church. Next day, she's giving birth to our number five son. And Thursday, she was there at church again. Don't do what I did. Okay, let them, they need their rest. Amen. They need their rest. I'm going to ask you all to stand. And just bow your heads right where you're at. Just bow your head. Let us go in prayer. Let us be, let us thank the Lord. I really enjoyed worship. From the moment I walked in, you can feel the presence of the Lord. He's here. And let him minister and speak to our needs. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just come before you, Lord. And we just thank you for this wonderful, awesome time that you give us. Father, I thank you for the time of worship ministered to my life. I thank you for the activities that are upcoming and the things that are to take place. But Father, now I just thank you for the message that you placed in my life. And the way it spoke to me, the way you ministered to me, Father, that it may also minister to those who are here this morning. Father, so many things going, so many activities, but they took the time to be here, Lord. And I just pray that you speak to their lives. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You all may be seated. We pastor a church in Hemet. We've been there 9 years. And how it started was through a small little congregation that took us in as a Hispanic ministry. So we started our Hispanic ministry, my wife, my kids, and I. And we told the Lord, Lord, if you're not going to bring souls, let us have more kids so that we can fill up church. Amen. Either you bring people in or we keep having kids, Lord, but you got to do something. And we thank the Lord. He began to bless and answer our prayer. How many of you know that God answers prayers? Amen. I don't know if you just say amen because we're accustomed to saying that, or you truly believe that with all your heart. But God still answers prayers. And after a year and a half of pastoring, the pastor resigned. And the board took me in as their senior pastor. Unfortunately, we lost all of our congregation because our senior pastor was 73 years old. So you could imagine the congregation he had. So when he resigned, they all left. So he said, now, Lord, okay, we got a Spanish department. Now what are we going to do with the English? But I had one faithful family. I said, God, just take them to the church down the street so that we can close the doors and fully focus on Hispanic ministries. But that family wouldn't quit. So I cut back their programs. I cut back their senior lunch because we would have senior lunches every once a week. So, and I would hang out, mingle with them. So we cut back their senior lunch. We said, all right, if we delete that, then they'll quit. Then we cut Sunday school. Then I changed their hours, but they still wouldn't quit. I said, God, what am I going to do? I begin to consider options. I don't know if you're following me. But I got to get rid of them so that I can just focus on Hispanic ministries. Well, they didn't give up. They kept coming to church. So I took their programs away. And you know, we used to give every week weekly programs. And I know how they were big on them. So I took off their programs. They still wouldn't quit. We changed the songs. We put away all the hymn books. For the English, we put the hymn books out. For the Spanish, we would take them out. Well, this time we left them out. But it's amazing how God always has a plan. Amen? And it's not about you or what you want. It's what he wants. It's not how far you want to take it. It's how far he wants to take you. And this morning, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 16. And I wanted to talk to you more about Revelations, the first chapters in the book of Revelations. But let me share with you Acts chapter 16, because when you begin to consider, fears come along with it. There's times where we have to stop and consider what's before us. Unfortunately, when we do that, we begin to evaluate. We begin to notice. We begin to examine that there's more to it. Have you ever gotten up one day early in the morning and said, you know, today I just feel like conquering the world. Today I'm going to go out and evangelize. Today I'm going to go out, do this, do that. Today I'm going to, I don't know. I know no one wakes up saying, today I'm going to hate my wife, huh? I'm going to hit my wife, or I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, you wake up wanting to do more. Amen? How many of you feel that way? I do, every morning. My wife and I say that we're going to run every morning. And every Monday, right? It's a new beginning for us. And till this day, we still haven't gotten up to run. But we think about it, we consider it. You know, I lost 20 pounds. I lost 20 pounds. But little by little, I'm getting them back. I'm still 15 ahead. So I got 15 more to play with if I want. But I want to be down to my normal weight. So if I begin to cut back on soda, if I begin to cut back on bread, if I begin to do other things, I'll lose that weight. But the other option is I can eat all that I want as long as I exercise. Well, I haven't done either one. But I'll tell you this much, that we begin to consider. Amen? I don't know about you, if you play with your mind. I speak to myself all the time, Pastor. I'm driving, and as pastors, we're always talking to ourselves. Amen? Do you ever do that? But I have a problem. Not only do I talk to myself, but I answer every question that I have to myself. Those are issues. Those are issues. You gotta think and ask yourself, what's wrong with me that not only do I talk to myself, but I begin to answer to myself? Well, Book of Acts chapter 16, we got a beautiful, amazing story. And I won't go into details, but I will share this with you, that the Bible says, Acts chapter 16, verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prisoners' doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. But listen to this. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Now, there are times where we have to stop and ask ourselves, what's the next step in life? Or what am I to do next? What's to follow? After this, what comes next? I don't know if you stop and you begin to meditate and ask yourself, what is it exactly that I need to do? Some of us make poor decisions in life. Some of us see the opportunity and we just jumped on it. Amen? Have you ever done that? It's sad when I hear testimonies. If, you know, God just blessed me with the new car. And I'm all happy for them. But geez, what happens a few months later when they have to return that car and they can't keep up with the payments? We get excited. It's sad to see what happened just a few years ago with our economy. People buying houses, and I saw a church member. I see what they make, and not that I'm nosy or get into detail. How can they afford that big, nice home? But we don't consider sometimes certain things. It's amazing how we make so many choices in life without considering. But when it comes to God, when it comes to ministry, oh, let me tell you, we become so spiritual and we begin to consider every step. Amen? Well, I'm going to pray about this. You know, I don't know about you, Pastor, but when you were talking coffee or juice or drinks and donuts, you know, it stir up a meal, an appetite inside of me. Now I'm hungry. But how many of you have been asked to do something and you begin to consider it and you find every reason to pray about it? You know, we jump on many things without thinking, but when it comes to ministry, we become so spiritual and we take the time to analyze every flaw. How many of you are following me? Is that making sense? You see, the good thing about this is that I'll preach right now and then I leave. Okay? Pastor, pastors are the ones that have to clean up after my mess or do the apologies. But I want to let you know that the Bible says that the prisoner guard. He noticed that something had occurred. And through that, he feared the consequences to come. He didn't take time to consider a family. He didn't take time to consider the consequences. He decides to pull his sword out and kill himself. You see, in life we consider many things. And when you begin to consider, let me tell you, many things follow. Many things follow. It takes me back also to other characters in the Bible who I don't know if they were careless or I don't know if they didn't see things the way we see it, but they asked for so much, and yet when the time arrives, they don't know what to do. You know, they're constantly looking for ways to cheat and beat the system, but when the opportunity shows up, sometimes they don't know what to do. You all heard the story of the book of, in Exodus, we see Pharaoh, chapter 8. Bible says that, you all remember what happened to Pharaoh? Who remembers that? How many plagues were there? Come on, church. And through those 10, there was one of them that he was unable to find that peace, that rest. The frogs. Remember that? The frogs? It's a frog story. And Pharaoh felt very uncomfortable due to all the frogs that had overcome his land and his kingdom. There were frogs in the bedroom, frogs in the restroom, frogs on the table. I mean, everywhere he went, there were frogs. And the Bible says that he got to a point where he asked for help. Hey, Moses, you know what? I got too many frogs around me and I need help. Is it possible that you can pray to God and God may remove all the frogs from among us? Well, sure. Just tell me, when do you want me to pray? Oh, I'll tell you what. Exodus chapter 8 tells us that he said, tomorrow. Why don't you pray tomorrow? You got the solution to your problems today, but you know what? I want to say goodbye to them frogs, amen? But I want to have one last night, maybe our last meal, kind of like the Last Supper, but instead with frogs. I don't know, maybe I want to have some soup, some legs. I don't know. I know people eat frogs, right? I mean, we eat anything. I know I do. Yesterday, Pastor, we did a lamb, and we did a pit in the ground, and on Friday, actually, and we killed the lamb and we put it in that pit, and we left it overnight. And then Saturday morning, we digged it out and we ate everything. We eat everything. We don't throw away nothing. I mean, from brains to tongue, amen. Tripas, guts. You guys aren't big on that. My wife's brother pulls out the eyeball, and he makes a taco out of it. I kid you not. Sounds like a joke, but I mean, we don't throw away anything. We eat it all. And so I don't know how far the frogs can go, but I do know this, that Pharaoh said, tomorrow. Isn't that amazing, church, that we begin to consider things, and when the solution to our problem arrives, you don't know what to do with it. You've been asking all this time, Father, what is it that you want from me? How can I help? How can I be a blessing? But when the moment arrives, you begin to consider. We always act fast. We always have an answer. We always say yes to things that don't bring any benefit to our lives. But when it comes to ministry, we always consider. Isn't that amazing? Now, that doesn't surprise me because I see that all the time. Back in 2004 or 5, I had a dream. And I saw myself riding a bicycle. And on that bicycle, I had a basket, and I had a bunch of burritos and coffee pots with me. And so I shared that dream with the church, and I told them that I was going to AM PM, and I was giving food to all those workers that were standing out in the corner. So the church got all excited, and they picked up an offering, and we started AM PM Ministry Fund. And we put that money aside, but guess what? It never took place. But we built a fund, all right? We never did a thing about it. Oh, we had the vision. We had the dream. But we begin to consider all the obstacles. Well, what if health services comes out and says, hey, your burritos aren't well done, or the, you know, the meat is still raw. What if your coffee doesn't taste good? How are you going to do it? I mean, I'm the pastor. I can't be out there on the streets. You know, how am I going to dress, and what am I going to tell them? And so many things played a part and stopped us from fulfilling the dream that God gave me. Isn't that amazing? And the years went by. And about a little bit less than 4 weeks ago, I shared this dream again with some brothers. We were, Tuesday nights is our Spanish Bible night study, and my wife brought us garlic shrimp and some rice. And we had a fellowship right there with two other brothers. And it's in our church, it's all about food, Pastor. I'm not like this just because, okay? And we were talking to the brothers, and I said, you know, a few years ago, I had a dream. But I began to consider every obstacle. First, it was the finances. So we got the finances. You know, God shut me up right there. But then I began to think about health and social services. And then I began to think about private property. And I began to think of so many other things that it never took place. You say, Pastor, what's stopping you now? Nothing. That's why I have you here. I like to share that. What do you guys think if we start the AMPM ministry and we give life to it? They got so excited. Nobody knows this in our church. You're the first to actually know it. It's two men and myself and my wife. Not even my kids know it. Why? Because we want to start something clean and pure. And rather than lifting up our heads and saying we're doing something, we'd rather be noticed. Amen? And not because we want people to see us or acknowledge us, but because we want to live by testimony. Letting others know that God cares for them. Letting others know that God's interested, regardless of color of skin. Amen? Regardless whether you're documented or undocumented, it don't matter. What matters is that God is interested in you. So we started this AMPM ministry, and we go out there once a week, Wednesday mornings. And the first week, my wife made us burritos con chorizo and queso with cheese. And we wrapped them up. I bought these jugs of coffee, and we took them out. And you should see how people are excited to receive that. We don't preach to them. We don't tell them, hey, you're a sinner. You got to ask God to forgive you. You have to repent. We just tell them anything you need, we're here to serve. But when you begin to consider, let me tell you, you prolong God's plans further out rather than come closer to you. You see, it's amazing. It's interesting to see that many times we begin to consider things when it comes to God, when it comes to the Lord, to ministry. But when it's about something else, you jump right on it. Amen? You don't consider that. You just jump right on it. You don't ask for permission. I don't know about you, if you have to ask for permission or not. Sometimes I do. Okay? Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I have to ask for permission. Why? Because I get so excited sometimes and I put my foot in my mouth. I got to be careful. But the Bible says that this man didn't consider, this man did not take in consideration family. You see, to me, family, it's all about family. Family comes first. Amen? If you can't take care of your family, if you can't be with family, if you can't love those who you see, how are you going to love the Lord? How are you going to love the Lord? I tell my wife that if she lets me love God with all my heart, with all my mind, my soul, my strength, how much more can I love you? How much more can I love you? How much more do I have to give? The Bible says that this man withdrew his sword. And in the process of killing himself, he heard a voice. The Bible also tells me about a testimony that was being given. In the moments of sorrow, in the moments of pain. As a church, we go through so much. If there's something difficult, it's always people. Amen? I'm a construction man. I do construction for a living. Well, at least I did. And I did that for 17 years. So I could build, there was a time where I was building dog houses. Then I was building little houses. And, you know, we build government buildings. That's what I do for a living. My brother's a project engineer, and I worked as a project superintendent. And, we have so much work actually out here in the desert. It's a pretty big company, and I did that for many years. So I'm a builder. I like to do things with my hands. There's so much that I can do, so much that I think that I can do. But if there's something that I struggle with, is always dealing with people. It's amazing how God said, let there be, the expansion over the earth. Let there be light. Everything was done by his mighty voice. Amen? But he never said, let there be men. He had to get on his knees and form us. Amen? Create us. I don't know if that's the reason why we struggle so much, or that's the reason why we're so complicated. Because we weren't created by his mighty voice. He took his time. He created us. Amen? And that's why I think we're so complicated. We're difficult to deal with sometimes. But this man, in his moment of desperation, his moment of need, the solution to his problems was taking his life. You might remember, Pastor, a few years ago, we had a viewing here of a relative who took his life. And the solution to his problems was hanging himself from his mom's backyard. And we conducted the viewing here, and I was part of that. Why? Because it's easier always to run than confront, rather than to confront the consequences. Amen? You guys following me? It's always easier to do things another way rather than facing reality. You see, many of us don't want to face reality. And I'm not here to talk about that. But I am here to let you know and to motivate you, to bring you closer to the cross and help you understand that there's a God who's interested in you. And there's a God who wants to have a relationship with you. But you got to stop considering obstacles. You have to stop considering an easy way out. I remember a pastor used to come up to me. My pastor, where I was growing up, and, he would talk to me and tell me, I see you leading Royal Rangers. I see you doing this. I see you doing that. Well, Pastor, I'm still not ready. I haven't been baptized. I don't speak in tongues. I hardly come to church. There's so many things in my life. I found every excuse to say no. Every excuse to say no. So many times I've seen, and I go a lot on mission trips. I've been 8 years in a row on a mission trip, and we did an outreach in the community. And in this community, it was in Laredo. What we did, we put out the movies, and we do like little carnival games, and we give free food. And it's amazing that the drinks that we would give was just colored water. It didn't even have sugar on it. But people always thought that tasted good for some reason. But we would give them colored water and food. And then we had it was 3 or 4 women that came to the Lord. They were prostitutes. But guess what? They went out and they brought more women. We had about maybe 20, 25 of them. These prostitutes giving their lives to Christ. And the town, I immediately identified them and told us, hey, you got to watch it. They're prostitutes. So be careful, okay? They always give their lives to Christ, but they never go to church. The next day, we gave them flyers and we said, hey, the next day we're going to be at the assembly hall. We're going to have a big service. You're all welcome. Well, guess what? They showed up to church with their children. But the ushers didn't let them in because they were prostitutes. I'll never forget that. The church always asking for help. The church wanting a revival, wanting a blessing. But when they noticed that the opportunity arrived, they didn't know how to deal with it. So they cast all these women with their children out of the church. After the service, we washed our hands. We said, we're never coming back to this area. Why? Because all these years we've helped. This is what we've been praying for. But they draw that line that separates us and says, who should be in the kingdom and who should be out? You see, many times we do that as well. We begin to examine those who surround us. We begin to evaluate their friendship. We begin to evaluate the way they think. I don't know about you, but I get excited every time I stand behind a podium. Because I get an opportunity to preach the gospel. Amen? to let others know that God is interested, regardless of where you're from. Amen? I don't think any of you know me. And that's a good thing. I grew up here in Cathedral City. I went to school with Jesse Sanchez. He pastors now in India. And, you know, we grew up together. Went to school together, all junior high and part of high school. And, you know, you think you're something special because you come from a different neighborhood than other people would. And growing up and trying to be something you weren't, but God already had a purpose for you. God had a purpose for me. And regardless of the area that I came out of, regardless of where I lived and the things that happened, regardless of who people might think that they know you or who you are, God doesn't make exception of that. He uses anybody, amen, that wants to be used by him. How many of you say amen? He doesn't make exceptions. If people were here to stand before me and say, hey, I know who he is, where he came out of, the things that he did. Let me tell you, I wouldn't be worthy of standing here. But he doesn't judge us by what he sees or what we've done. Amen? Every day is a new beginning. That man woke up asking himself, is something different coming my way? Am I identifying the opportunities in life? Or is it just another day? You see, he never thought that this would occur, that the jailhouse would rock and tremble and the shackles, the chains would be broken. He never imagined that. You see, we live our days not knowing what's to come when you don't have Christ in your life. But when Christ is part of your life, let me tell you, nothing stands in your way. How many of you say amen? And regardless of the outcome, regardless of the things that might happen, we know who we believe in. Amen? Last week, a church member passed away. And we buried her last week. But 2 weeks ago, she was very sick in Loma Linda, battling cancer. And married for 8 years. But the day she got married, within a few months, they found out she had cancer. She gave birth to a little kid and her son, and the kid's 7 years old. But she, after 8 years, she died of cancer. But before she died, we baptized her in the hospital. My wife and I were able to baptize her in the hospital. We were able to pray for her. She came to the Lord. She went to church. She testified. She was on fire. And then she passed away. But the family never thought that that day would come. You see, things change our lives. Amen? It's that one moment in life that will change you forever. It's that one moment. It's that one moment that will impact you and change your life forever. She came to the Lord. She gave her life to Christ. I know where she's at today. Amen? But it's those moments in life that will impact us and change our lives forever. We could either make choices to the extreme, choices that will bring blessings, or choices that will bring destruction. And we just got to be ready for those moments. We got to be ready for that time. Identifying the opportunities. You got to be on your guard at all time. Amen? You got to be cautious. You got to have a second plan, plan B, plan C, I don't know. You have to be prepared. You have to be ready at all times, amen? But let me tell you, when that fog, that dim falls upon you and doesn't allow you to see furthermore that what's ahead of you, you got to ask yourself, what's wrong? Why am I making poor choices? How come I'm not analyzing what I'm doing? What's holding me back? What's stopping me from being that man of God? Or what's stopping me from being that person that God wants me to be? There's something I don't understand. Maybe Pastor here can help me. But as I was reading the genealogy of Jesus Christ, there's a couple of characters that stand out in that story. One of them is, she's a prostitute. She's a prostitute. You know, every morning she wakes up, she cleans herself up, makes herself look pretty. She stands at her door waiting for someone to come and utilize her services. And the lifestyle that she carried, what kind of style is that? very poor, very weak. I like to criticize her. I like to judge her. I like to put her down. How is it possible that God sees that and allows her to be part of the genealogy? But she noticed something that everyone ignored. When she saw the faces of the people, she saw them in poor spirit. She saw that the strength had been pulled out of them. She saw that failure in their faces. Their faces weren't shining, weren't glowing. And the Bible says that she made a pact with two men. She understood. She was able to identify a moment of opportunity. Amen? You know, we got to be ready. You don't know when that time's coming. And I'm not talking judgment. No, I'm talking about those special moments that will change your life forever. Amen? You got to be ready. You got to be cautious. You got to be on your guard. You don't know what's going to happen that will change your life forever. Bible says that she made a pact with those men. And due to her faithfulness, her commitment, due to the fact that she was ready to accept and receive a change in her life, let me tell you, not just her life was preserved, but the life of her family. Isn't that amazing? Families can be blessed as they can also be cursed. Had Pharaoh asked Moses and said, "Moses, why don't you pray today? And let's get rid of all these frogs," we would have had a different ending. Pharaoh had to face the consequences and the destruction, the death of his oldest son. Why? Because he did not take advantage of that opportunity that came before him. The jailman sees the opportunity to kill himself and relieve himself from further consequences. Let me tell you, death isn't always a solution. Amen? We think it is, but it's not. I'll end with this. I have this man in our church. A lovely man. Oh, not only is he good looking, handsome, fit, good family, but you know, one of our part of our worship team, and then not just part of the worship team, but he also worked with our children's ministry. And beautiful family. A 22-year-old daughter, then a 17-year-old, then he has a 16-year-old son and a 12-year-old girl. Beautiful family. Every Sunday they dress so sharp. They look so nice. But I never saw it coming. I never saw that he lost focus. I never saw that he was distracted. You see, we can lie to each other all we want. It's just a matter of time before those lies catch up to us. Amen? We could think we know how to play the game. We think we know how to identify times and let me tell you, it's just a matter of time before it all crumbles down. We come to light. We respond the way we think and the way that we are. I never saw it coming. I knew he had difficulties. I knew he had little issues here and there, but nothing major. Things don't happen overnight, amen? It's a process. And decided to leave his family for another person. But you see, he's not looking ahead of the consequences to come. Yeah, he's young. He's 39. Yes, he's good looking. Yes, he's strong. Yes, he's got a good government job. Yes, he makes good money. But his son said these words, "I wish my father was dead." He said it to his face. "I wish you were dead, Dad." And then his 17-year-old daughter, the most beautiful voice that I've heard in Hemet, okay? In Hemet. Right here, you got some tremendous voices. She said, "Dad, when are you going to leave? I'll give you 2 weeks to leave our house." Last week on Thursday or Wednesday, he came to church. "Pastor, I feel lonely. My family has abandoned me. Look at what's happening to me. But you know what? It's okay. I could start a new family if I want." You can't talk sense into him. Why? Because he's already considered every step, every obstacle in life. "So I pay child support, big deal. So I'm going to have to pay alimony, big deal. My family has abandoned me. They don't care for me. It's all right. I could start all over again. Let me tell you, it's going to be a matter of time before it all crumbles down on him. You following me? The man said, you know what? I'll grab this sword and I'll take my life right here, right now. And it's over with. I don't have to deal with this. I don't have to deal with that. I don't have to worry about what's to come. We'll just put an end to everything before me. It's over. Let me tell you, it's not over. I got 5 kids that are watching me every day. I got a 16-year-old son filled with the Holy Ghost, speaks in tongues, a beautiful kid. He follows me everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, I take him. Yesterday, we were at a honor-bound revival in San Fernando Valley. And everywhere I go, he goes with me. Everywhere I go. He's always there. Then I got he wants to be a pastor. Does very good in school. Gets good grades. So proud of him. Then I got David, who wants to be an evangelist. The only reason why he wants to be an evangelist, he says evangelists always get the pretty wives. That's what he says. He says, Dad, I want to be an evangelist. All the evangelists have pretty wives. All right, son, if that's what you think, go for it. The other one wants to be a missionary. And the reason why I began to put that in his head since the day he was born, when he was born, he wasn't breathing. Doctor said, expect the worst. He's not going to make it. He stopped breathing from time to time. So many complications. That day, as I stood next to my wife, I said, you know what? Let's pray. And my wife had just given birth to him right there with a matter of minutes. I called my pastor and I began to call different people from church and we began to pray. I said, God, if you let him live, I promise I'll make the best of it so that he can be a missionary. And 2 injuries, terrible injuries he's had in church. And I said, that's a calling, Paul. You see, God wants to prepare you for the mission field. He fell from a basketball court at church Tuesday night before Bible study. He fell and you see one side of the face completely destroyed and the other one was just perfect. It's amazing what occurred. A fractured skull, went to emergency. Let me tell you, not doing good at all, but we got through it. How many of you know that WWE, it's not real, it's fake. Amen. It's just a show. But my kids think it's the real deal. Before church on a Tuesday, in the month of February, February the 8th actually, they decided to wrestle. And what does he do? David breaks his leg. I mean, snapped his femur, his bone. I mean, just broke it. And he goes, Dad, why me? Why me? Why do these things happen to me? Because you're going to be a missionary. That's why. You want to consider that now? You know, it's amazing. But they're following me. They look up to me. And my baby one will tell you 3 rules in life. You ask him when you see him. Hey, what's the 3 rules in life? He'll tell you. Never lie, never cheat, and never do God wrong. But it's not just those 3 words that he knows. There's also a meaning to them and why I say them to him. He might not memorize everything, but he does know those 3 words. I got people following me. If I decide to take my life, if I decide to walk away, what's going to happen? Amen? Don't worry, I'm about to end. What happens, church? Yeah, there was a time when I thought about giving it all up. Yeah, there was a time where, you know, we get worried, we get tired. We think it's not worth it. You know, it's not worth it. It means nothing. Nobody cares. So I made a bad choice. So what? Nobody cares anyways. You don't know who's watching you. When we started church, we had nobody. Just my wife and kids. And I pray and I give a sermon as if the building was filled. It was full. But you never know who's listening, who's hearing. I'll never forget this little gangster was outside and, you know, he had a Dodgers hat. Nothing against Dodgers. I love Dodgers. Yeah. I think they're the only team. Well, I hope I get invited again after that. But all tattooed, all banged up and... I dismissed, everyone had left, and we were locking up, and as I was getting in my car, he came through behind and said, everything you said was about me. Everything you said was about me. How'd you know my life? Where do you know me from? Had I considered that the church was empty and just my family, maybe I would have talked to my family, given them testimonies. But you never know who you're speaking to, amen? You don't know the outcome. You don't know what's going to happen. The man gets the sword and he says, you know what, it's time to put an end to this. I have to face Caesar. I have to render accountability. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I need to take action into my own hands. Let God deal with your problems. Don't deal with them yourself. Amen? You struggle because you want sometimes. Why don't you let God be part of that struggle? Let God be part of your life. Let God deal with your issues. Let God deal with the things that you can't carry with. Amen? Don't find yourself walking alone. And when you do that, I'm pretty sure that there's staff, there's people here who care and love you. And they'll be more than happy to give you a hand. But the Bible says that the man, when he heard the voice, he acknowledged that, hey, that's Paul. That's that crazy fool that was singing all night long. I know who he is. Bible says he took him home. Amen. Took him home. Wrapped him up. Took him in. Listen to this. Then the jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Took him to his house, cleaned him up, fed him. And the Bible says, if you continue to read on, it ends that the family rejoiced and they were all saved. Salvation came. Not just to this person, but to an entire family. When God gets mad at Cain, it's not so much, don't get me wrong, yes, he killed Abel. But it's not so much Abel. He killed an entire generation to come. Amen? What would have been of Abel? Well, what would have been of this man had he decides to kill himself? We got to be ready, church. Opportunities are going to come before you. What are you going to do with them? How will you respond? Amen? Are you ready to confront that? Can you identify it if it stands before you? That's a question you need to ask yourself this morning. We get wrapped up in so many things and very few times we take the time to analyze what's really before us. I'm going to ask you to stand. As you stand this morning, I just ask that you search inside your heart. Amen? Search deep inside and Maybe, some of you have witnessed that day of opportunity and ignored it. And you ask yourself, when will I get a second chance? I believe great opportunities come once in a lifetime. Amen? But let me tell you this. God never quits. He doesn't give up. He's so interested in you today that he gives you another chance. Amen? I had this lady, Teresa Maldonado, making plans for the 25th anniversary. Oh, I was so excited because I've never done an anniversary like that or some type of ceremony in that manner. I've done weddings. I've done sweet 16s, quinceañeras. I've done it all, but never, ever have I done a ceremony in that manner. 25 years. Yeah, everyone was excited. She had her dress. She had it all. Sunday after church went home. Monday came by. And Tuesday, I get a call that Sunday night after church, went to bed, but never woke up. She had her dress. The ceremony was on Saturday. Sunday night, she dies, and Saturday, we're burying her, the day of her 25th anniversary. You don't know. It's those small things or those big things. It's that moment that will impact you and change you forever. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that opportunity that comes before you? The man could have ended his life and we wouldn't have this beautiful, amazing story. a pastor, a minister. That's what he becomes in the future. Don't ever underestimate what God can do. Amen. Bow your heads right where you're at. And just before I turn the service over to the pastor, and or as he makes his way up, I ask, why don't you just search in your heart and ask God, God, what is it that I'm ignoring? Am I playing too much? Am I considering too many things? What's really stopping me from doing and fulfilling your will? Do I waste too much time doing other things? Do I ignore the purpose, the plans that you have for me? Is it, Father, that I demand, I ask for too much? I don't know what it is, church, but why don't you make that your prayer this morning? And I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to ask Pastor to come up, and I'll turn this time over to him. But I want to pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just come before you. Father, as we lift up our hands and we acknowledge, Lord, that we need more of you. We need more of you this morning. Father, I need you to help me understand. I need you to help me see what's before me. Sometimes I'm confronted with these moments in life that I might misunderstand or I might not see clearly. And amongst those moments, opportunities are presented before me. And yet I ignore them like everything else. Father, I come before you. I'm not happy. I'm not content. I want more. I want more. I want to do more. Yes, there's going to be consequences to my sins. Yes, I have to face reality. But nothing's impossible, Lord. I want more of you. I need more of you. I ask all, Lord, that you help me and you get me through. Father, as the congregation lifts up their hands, I pray that you examine their hearts, Lord. Examine their lives. Examine the prayer requests that they have before you. Lord Jesus, that this morning you may answer according to your riches and glory. We give you praise, all the honor and the glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus.